We dive into major takeaways from the Baltimore Ravens 23-10 week one preseason win over the Tennessee Titans with a very special guest next year on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return another episode of Locked On Ravens, of course, our daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And thank you so much for making Locked On Ravens your first listen today. We're free and available on all platforms. That includes on YouTube. And we're back here on a Taco Tuesday. Our Taco Tuesday guest and Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown back with us to talk about Marcus Peters, our Darius Washington, and of course, that 23-10 week one preseason win over Tennessee. Spencer, very busy week for the Ravens. How you doing?
Doing quite well. We kicked off the first Ravens game action of the year, and things have gone swimmingly. So quite a fun time in Ravens land.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk about it with you here today. And before we get into the major takeaways on both offense and defense and some special teams on that side of the ball for the Ravens in that game, I do want to talk a bit about the big news of yesterday, which was the fact that the Ravens did end up activating both Marcus Peters and Ardarius Washington from the physically unable to perform list. They both returned to practice. And in those clips, there were some clips shared by the people who were at practice. Marcus Peters out there moving, looked pretty fluid. What did you think of how he looked in those couple clips that you were able to see?
Definitely looked not too far off, I think. It seems like his rehab has gone pretty well. A veteran, gone through some injuries before, and looks like, you know, someone who doesn't carry a ton of weight as well, not necessarily known for being, you know, a super explosive kind of player, always light on his feet, things like that. So his was a non-contact, which can tend to be a little bit wonky, a little bit strange, but didn't have any additional damage outside of that ACL, luckily, and looks like he could very well be back week one.
Yeah, and we were lucky enough, Spencer, to be able to cover the J.K. Dobbins thing last week when it happened, when he was able to come off the PUP list. And I want to ask you a question I asked you last week, this time just about Marcus Peters, in terms of just managing the workload, in terms of maybe if he's able to be back by week one. How are you managing his snaps based off of what you know in terms of recovery, based off of the depth the Ravens have in the cornerback room? I mean, you never want to rush him back, but where are you looking in terms of snaps over the first weeks or even couple months of this year?
I would be surprised to see him a little bit different from J.K. Dobbins. Definitely going to get eased back in, but I think by October he's probably playing full-time, full stop, ready to go. I think that his injury wasn't quite as severe as some of the other ones from everything that I've heard, and his timeline has been pretty ultimately consistent no matter what. So I think that he'll be back and ready to rock and roll, you know, week one all the way through, and I think he's going to have that competitive drive to stay on the field. Again, not someone who carries a bunch of weight, always super light, and probably was a little bit more of a smooth rehab than some of the Ravens' other injuries that they're waiting on.
Yeah, so now the Ravens, after activating both Dobbins and Peters and Ardarius Washington, they now have Ronnie Stanley on that list still, Tyus Bowser, Gus Edwards, so we'll see what those recovery times look like. Maybe they'll come off after the Cardinals game. We're not sure yet, obviously, but Spencer, Ardarius Washington is a very curious case to me because it seemed like at least a player that the Ravens maybe could have stashed. And obviously, if he's healthy, he's healthier. You want to get him back on the field. But it's kind of a curious case now because it almost felt like heading into this offseason before everything between Geno Stone and Ardarius Washington, it felt like there was maybe one spot between the two. It feels like the team views Washington more as a nickel corner right now based off of everything. I mean, where do you see him fitting in if he's to make this team? And how likely do you think it is he can maybe carve out a roster spot here after a late start?
Definitely going to have to test his weight into being a slot player, and special teams is going to ultimately be the answer for him. If he's dynamic on special teams, he's going to have to hustle his tail off. The Ravens did give him a pretty big contract for a UDFA, and he did weasel his way into the active game day roster at certain points. So I think we see Ardarius Washington work in the slot. The safety room is mighty crowded. He is a younger player. He is coming off of injury. I think that I would say at this point in time, you know, guys like Brandon Stevens, you know, Stone, you know, all of those kind of bottom safety guys are ahead of him discernibly. So the investments there, they've been good. Even Tony Jefferson, you know, fills a little bit of a different role. And there's guys like Pepe Williams, Brandon Stevens, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey plays in the slot quite a bit. So Washington's going to have to come in, make an impact on special teams, and prove that he can go toe-to-toe with some smaller type of slot receivers in the slot. And ultimately, that's where he's going to be able to win out or not. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him be a practice squad player. He was on the practice squad last year, and they get to protect four players. So if he's their guy, he's who they can stash and keep and let recover. And from what I had heard last year, Wink was the one that didn't really want Ardarius. Thought he was simply too small a ton. So that is now gone. So if Mike McDonald feels a little bit differently, then it's a different story. So definitely has a shot. Definitely going to come back and see what he can do. And his injury was a foot injury. You know, it does stink. You're planting. You're a reactive athlete when you're playing DB as opposed to being proactive. So a little bit of a different story, trusting that foot, all of those kinds of things. And could be a tough little road. Could definitely maybe see him ending up going, you know, back onto the PUP list or being stashed on the practice squad and getting protected, something along those lines.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that point about Don Martindale and his kind of not willingness to have him on the roster based off of his size. Does the size concern you at all?
To me, size really isn't a skill. When you're playing, you know, slot corner particularly, slot receivers are small. Guys can play much bigger than they are. And at the end of the day, you know, your size is not what determines your outcome. So I think that his size is not ultimately going to be in his favor, but he can outplay that, and I think we've seen him do that a little bit, and the Ravens did think enough of him to keep him around last year, so that's where they're at.
Yeah, and the Ravens now, they have to get their roster down to 85 players by today. The Ravens have made a couple of moves. They ended up releasing Robert Jackson and also Corey Clement, the running back there, and then obviously a couple days ago, they ended up releasing Devin Williams and Denzel Williams, then also the reported release of Chuck Wiley. Spencer, did any of those names surprise you? Was there maybe a guy who you thought maybe could have stuck around for an extra week or someone you thought performed well who you might not have expected to see on that cut list so far?
Nothing really shocking. Would have loved to see a little bit more Chuck Wiley, but you know, first preseason game came and went, and he wasn't a huge factor there. And with Justice Hill coming back, I was looking at him and Corey Clement kind of competing against each other, and it looks like Justice Hill came out and had a very nice performance in multiple ways and kind of alleviated the need for a redundant player in that running back room to Justice Hill. So with that being said, you know, we've seen some of these UDFA receivers start to boost their stock as well. So they part with one of them, and that's just the nature of the beast. So nothing too surprising.
Yeah, and I kind of want to transition into our second segment by asking you one final question here, and it's going to be about the wide receivers. Now, you see James Prochet and Tylan Wallace get dinged up a little bit. We've seen Rashad Bateman miss some practice time. Devin Duvernay miss some practice time. They're getting a tiny bit thin, all things considered, the wide receiver. Now, they did have guys like Slade Bolden return to practice, a very good sign there, but Bailey Gaither still missing some time. Do you feel like these injuries, Spencer, would almost say to the Ravens, hey, we need to bring somebody in, a veteran, or do you think they're still going to kind of go this course with their young guys and see what they have, and then when it really gets bad, that's when they might consider adding or trading for a veteran?
I think that they keep their ear on the phone, the good old house phone, landline in the facility all the time, always looking to go negotiate. So cutdowns are going to happen. Teams are going to want to try to get any capital that they can in terms of late round picks for guys instead of just gaining simply nothing. So some interesting situations such as, you know, Preston Williams down in Miami, a lot of these things. But at this point, losing a Duvernay or losing a Prochet seems like it is super detrimental. And that is not a good place to be when guys that are still relatively unproven in this league going down puts you in a really bad position. So they have to make a move. They have to bring in a veteran. They will. I think that there's a very low circumstance where they go into week one and especially going into like week four without making some sort of move for a receiver. They simply need one. And the faster they acquire one, the faster that receiver can get implemented into this offense. And I think we'll see some teams that are willing to, you know, part with a receiver that's not a part of their future plans for, let's say, you know, a 2024 sixth round pick, something like that. So I think at this point they have to make a move, and we see them make a move somewhere before week one.
Yeah, and part of this whole thing is, like, during the preseason, if guys are able to get back by week one, like, it's all right, cool, no harm, no foul, guys are back. But then what if you're talking about, like, week eight and Rashad Bateman has to miss time and Devin Duvernay has to miss time, and we're working with James Prochet, Tylan Wallace, whoever makes it is the fifth, Shamar Bridges, Jalen Moore, whoever. And then all of a sudden you're relying on guys coming up off the practice squad and whatnot. I think at that point it's already too big of a problem. at that point, I think the Ravens should have already added somebody to kind of alleviate that concern. So, yeah, I think adding a veteran would definitely be helpful. If they don't, again, it's not the end of the world, but I think planning ahead would be definitely smart for them, especially considering that they have seen now their big four, all of them miss at least a little bit of practice time with some injuries. But coming up, we're going to be diving into some offensive takeaways from the Ravens in week one of the 2022 preseason. So be sure to stay tuned. We still have a ton to dive into here on Locked On Ravens. First, though, I do want to tell you a bit about Athletic Greens, and AG1 is something that I use almost every day. And really, it's because my health is really important to me and it gives me more energy as well. And really, what's in the stuff is, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens as well to help start your day right. And there are a bunch of good reasons to use it. It's lifestyle friendly. So whether you're eating vegan, dairy free, gluten free, it is for you. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial anything as well, while still tasting good, which is also really important. And also, there's a lot in terms of small micro habits with big benefits. It's one thing you do every single day to take great care of yourself as well. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with the convenient daily nutrition that is AG1. It's just one scoop in a cup every day of water. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We're back. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens here. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Spencer Schultz. Diving in now to that 23-10 win over the Tennessee Titans. And Spencer, the Ravens just can't lose in the preseason. 21 straight games. Back to 2015 we have to go to feel that last Ravens loss back against the Atlanta Falcons September 2015. And we talked about the wide receivers exiting that first segment, so entering the second segment. But let's continue there. We saw big performances by Shamar Bridges, Mekhi Polk as well. I think it was very encouraging for a team that's looking for an undrafted guy or a young guy to step up to maybe take hold of that number five job. We saw it with Bridges and Polk and some other guys too.
Yeah, definitely. Bridges definitely stole the show, and seeing not only his ability to go up and get the ball, but fluidly running some double moves, just really chewing up ground. Looks like an explosive runner in some aspects, a guy that the Ravens think provides something after the catch as well. And again, they've just needed that small forward, power forward type body in that room for so long. And Bridges looks to play the part. You hear John Harbaugh additionally say that he was really happy with his play on special teams. And we know that is the golden ticket to getting that UDFA spot. If he is kept, he will be playing on kickoff. He will be playing on kick return. He will be on punt teams. He'll be a gunner. Tylan Wallace was a great gunner last year as a relatively high drafted player in comparison with someone who wasn't. So Bridges looks the part, absolutely. I really like what I saw out of Benjamin Victor as well. I think that he still possesses that long deer-like frame and finesse style of attack where he can really break down at the top of his routes and sink a little bit and go do some things for you as well. I like what I've seen out of Jalen Moore. Jalen Moore had a nice little quick throw in the beginning of the game, lays a little stiff arm down. And then, of course, Mekhi Polk, who just ate. He just ate throughout the course of that game and was able to go reel in some catches, move the chains, and be a nice consistent target, getting a ton of run there. So I think the Ravens are probably more pleased with kind of this UDFA crop of receivers that they clearly passed on in the draft and then chose to go this route. But relative in UDFA money, spent a lot on these UDFAs relative to the pond of UDFA wide receivers. Slade Bolden missed time, unfortunate for him. Tylan Wallace exits that game as well. But at the end of the day, Shamar Bridges looks like someone that could certainly be a factor and go be, maybe a DeMarcus Robinson kind of player, someone who's made a nice little career for himself in Kansas City, being a taller receiver that can run and do some things. So looking forward to seeing Bridges get more action, more opportunity, and whether he can continue to impose his physicality and his giant frame on some more DBs. So looks the part, smells the part, plays with confidence, plays well on special teams, checks a lot of boxes for the Ravens, and seems to be kind of that clubhouse leader to go make this roster and go maybe see the offensive field being that big body that plays like it.
Yeah, I was extremely impressed with Shamar Bridges and Spencer. So as of today, Tuesday, August 16th, who is your leader for number five in that room? Jalen Moore's had a really nice camp, but only had two catches in the preseason games. Shamar Bridges obviously was the guy who stole that show. Did that performance leapfrog him into that number five role for you?
Yeah, hearing Jeff Zrebeck confirm, that Bridges has been consistently a decent player of all the beat writers out there. I do trust Jeff the most. We've heard him kind of get some mixed reviews from some other people that are on the beat. And ultimately, hearing Harbaugh's words, seeing the way Bridges played, thinking about what the Ravens have lacked, what they could use in terms of body type and play style, I think that the stars are in alignment. It was just one game, but it doesn't sound like it has been limited to the game. Sounds like in practice he showed up. It sounds like that he has the work ethic that is desired. And John Harbaugh usually doesn't mince words with these UDFA players. He will be very transparent at times if, you know, run blocking isn't up to snuff or the special teams play isn't up to snuff or there's things that they need to work on. His tone was much different with Bridges. And getting those kinds of words, I think, is to instill confidence in some ways and say, you know, head coach is noticing you, willing to talk about it publicly and try and, you know, continue to boost his ego a little bit in a good way. So Bridges definitely my leader. I think that out of, you know, Bailey Gaither and Slade Bolden and a lot of the smaller guys, I don't think they stand as much of a chance. And I would really, you know, I think Jalen Moore is probably in that category a little bit more than he's not. And I think he is the leader of that sense of that, you know, not huge receiver. So I think it's kind of between Moore and then I would say Benjamin Victor and Shamar Bridges. And hey, you know, I don't wish it upon the Ravens, but it's not unlikely that one of those guys misses week one between Prochet, Wallace, Duvernay, and Rashad Bateman. You know, all of those guys have been banged up. It wouldn't be surprising. So there is possibly a world where two of those guys could make the team or, you know, they're going to probably protect one of them, I would imagine, as well, putting them on the practice squad. So my money's on Bridges, but it's still a pretty open race.
Yep. And the Ravens still have two preseason games to figure that out. But now, Spencer, speaking of pass catchers, Isaiah Likely put on quite the show on Thursday night. Four catches, juking guys out, high contested catches as well. I mean, what were your takeaways from his game? Because with the positives as a pass catcher, there were some negatives in there as a blocker.
Yeah, I think the negatives as a blocker being a little bit overstated for sure. He was someone who was more of a space blocker at Coastal Carolina. I don't think his – considering they have Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews, and Pat Ricard, I don't think that his usage is going to be put in line and in a blocking heavy role, especially play side, run side, a lot of those things. So skinnier guy, fits the bill of a receiver a little bit more, really kind of does remind me of Hayden Hurst in some ways, being able to go up, get the ball, play with a little bit of intensity and do some things after the catch too. You know, definitely has a little bit of runaway speed, has some sticky hands on him and seeing a little bit of similarities, could see a pretty similar role to 2019 Hayden Hurst for Isaiah Likely on this team. The movement skills are loose. He does look to be a true big slot more than being a tight end or a receiver or whatever it is. The big slot is the big trend in the NFL right now. Mark Andrews is one of them at times. His blocking has gotten better. We've talked about that many times, but Likely right now looks fantastic. And I think the blocking is going to get continuously overstated. He is not a guy that with Boyle, with all those guys, they're not going to go stick him front side on a power play and ask him to, you know, dig out a front side outside linebacker consistently. So all of those things are going to continue to get talked about. People want to feel like they're making some sort of, you know, educated opinion about him. They're not going to be asking him to do that. I don't think that's why they drafted him. I don't think that's something that they care terribly about. They do want him to progress there. Having him do it would always be better. You know, all of those things, but they want him to contribute in the passing game, and he's doing exactly that. The camp hype has absolutely met the preseason game hype, which grew even stronger. Monday's practice, he's, you know, reeling in what Ryan Mink describes Superman diving touchdown catches, things of that nature. So Likely at this point is a player I would even consider limiting reps in game. I think he can be a decently high level contributor for this offense. You know, a 30 catch kind of guy in this offense, score, you know, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns perhaps. So I would hate to see him get overused too early on when it doesn't feel like he needs that. So Likely someone that has done nothing but catch passes dating back to his time at Coastal Carolina, continues on that production through camp and into the preseason. So hopefully, you know, we see 15, 20 snaps, couple targets, get him out of there, maybe rest him up that third game. He's not fighting for a roster spot. Charlie Kohler is still coming back from injury, probably going to miss the first month of the season at least. I think the new pup starting the season is 4 games now that you must miss. So would think Kohler is going to have to play catch up starting that in that time frame, and Likely is realistically like the 4th, 5th, maybe 6th option receiving wise on this team right now. So love it. Love what I've seen from him. Love everything I've heard from him. Like the player coming out and hope to see him continue.
Yeah, it seems like he's going to have a pretty decent role in this offense starting off. And I know, Spencer, speaking of blocking, the offensive line, I think, shined in this game a lot of the time. I think we saw performances by Juwan James, Ben Cleveland, Tyree Phillips, guys who you really wanted to see kind of in a big light. Even Daniel Falele, who I know a lot of people were super, super intrigued with. What are your takeaways from the Lions' performance?
I think that my biggest takeaway, arguably, from this entire game, and it really applies to both sides of the ball in the trenches, the Ravens' backup offensive line now, going from left to right, Juwan James, Tyree Phillips, Pat McCary, Ben Cleveland, and Daniel Falele, might not be the 32nd worst first-team offensive line in the NFL. That unit looked nasty. That unit all made plays. There were some weird hiccups with some snap count cadences on the right side of the line particularly. It looked like Cleveland and Falele, and at times like Josh Oliver, some other alignments, some weird things going on where the left side was like a full beat ahead. The right side was a little slower, so I'm not sure if that was by design in some way to mess with the defense or something, but it was almost intentional. It was a little strange. Aside from that, everyone made plays. Falele looked outstanding, considering you know what had been said about him coming out of OTAs, all of those things. Ben Cleveland looked like the way he finished the season against Pittsburgh. Something we wanted to see from him was becoming a nasty force in the run game, driving guys out of their gap, finishing as a run blocker, not giving up on plays early. He did all of those things. Another guy that had a bunch of conditioning rumors and, you know, took a couple times to pass the conditioning test, all of those things. Juwan James looked relatively sharp, especially considering he hasn't played in quite some time and switching sides. McCary, you know, I kind of hate him at center. I think he's a tackle, but, you know, he can play center. So that was all good and dandy. Saw Ben Powers there too. Phillips had an up and down day. I think we saw Khalil McKenzie, who switched over from the other side of the ball, look okay. Tristan Colon looked okay. But Falele and Ben Cleveland lined up next to each other is a thing of beauty. I think Greg Roman made some comments about, you know, having those guys to down block. I think about those guys to down block being like, you know, having Godzilla to destroy a city. It really can't get much better than that. There's, you know, 800 pounds of meat, give or take, between those two, and they've just got otherworldly strength. Those are some X-Men Avengers type dudes to have on your backup offensive line. So Cleveland, you know, perhaps can continue it. I think they're going to want him to play a lot this preseason. And I think for good reason, to play himself into shape ahead of the season. And maybe he can snag that starting left guard spot. But if worst case is that he just is Kevin Zeitler's understudy and Zeitler, you know, maybe plays one more year, maybe next year Cleveland becomes left guard, comes back to right guard post Zeitler. I think that's a good contingency plan. And overall, Tyler Huntley especially got some really clean pockets to work with. When you're thinking about it as a collective, we saw some nice blitz pickups from Mike Davis, Justice Hill, as well, a couple guys. So this pass protection, I think, is going to be much, much, much improved, considering you also have veterans like Morgan Moses, Kevin Zeitler as well. So Linderbaum, a huge question mark at this point still. Ronnie Stanley, a huge question mark, but feels like their fail-safe is about 50,000 times better than it was last year, considering Alejandro Villanueva and the uncertainty of left guard and, you know, what was going on at center, all of those things. So a lot less uncertainty in terms of depth, and I think that the worst case for the Ravens looks endlessly better than what turned into be the worst case last year and we ended up seeing on the field on Sundays.
Yeah, I was impressed. And you mentioned the pass blocking from the running backs. You saw multiple blitz pickups from Justice Hill that I was very impressed with. I thought that was great. Mike Davis, that viral block he had, kind of welcome to the NFL moment on the Titans defender. So I do want to kind of squeeze in quarterbacks and running backs here quickly. What did you see? I mean, Anthony Brown's a player that impressed me. I talked about Justice Hill a little bit. What are your takeaways from those two positional groups?
Yeah, I think exactly that. I think that the Ravens linebackers blitzed, and we'll get into that, but they blitzed with authority and were able to work off of blitz pickups from backs. I think that the Ravens backs were filling with authority and able to really stop momentum. Justice Hill super impressed me. We heard running backs coach, whose name is absolutely slipping my mind, Craig Van Steer, I believe, speak about the fact that Justice Hill has turned into an ultra complete player somehow in his injury absence and doesn't seem to have lost explosiveness. So handing him the ball inside, using him in gap scheme runs, asking him to do blitz pickup, all of the things that he didn't have a ton of experience in. It looks like things just clicked for him while he got a little bit of a remiss from the game. And I think that we're going to continue to see him work and work and work. And it looks like I was going to make this roster. He looked darn good. So Mike Davis, very pleased with what we see, made the right reads, did the right things, looked like the veteran that they signed in case of emergency with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins looming. So very pleased with that depth as well between Davis and Hill. And then need to see a little more out of Tyler Beatty, getting his feet wet the first time. Want to see him get a couple more opportunities in the pass game. Thought he had an okay, you know, fine average performance, nothing terrible, but curious to see how he does with more run. And it's going to be there might not be more question marks in terms of who stays, who goes, who's healthy, who's injured in any one position than with the Ravens running backs right now, considering the uncertainty of Dobbins, the mega uncertainty of Edwards, and the fact that they have, you know, 3-4 guys still really fighting for 2-3 spots.
Yeah, and I think for the Ravens, you have to feel a lot more confident at this time than you did last year when Dobbins and Edwards and Hill all went down. They had players who were in their system, and I was impressed. I mean, Justice Hill was a player last offseason, didn't have a great training camp, didn't have a good preseason. If the injury didn't happen, I mean, it was pretty safe to say he might not have even made the roster last year. So for him to come back and just look like he had, it's like the almost like intrigue that you saw coming out of Oklahoma State, the burst that he had, some of that speed. I was very happy with the performance from Justice Hill, so I'm hoping he can build off of that for sure. But coming up here on Locked On Ravens, we're going to be diving into the defensive side of the ball, talking about the front seven, the secondary, special teams as well, and more. So be sure to stay tuned for that. We still have a ton to talk about here on the show. But first, I do want to tell you a bit about Elias Game Plan. And Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats, Elias Sports Bureau, the official statisticians of the U.S. pro sports leagues, including the NFL. Their app lets you access team and player stats, head-to-head team comparisons, and Elias insights from the Elias Sports Bureau's research team. This app really, it's your one-stop source for player news, league-validated player stats, and team records as well. You have expert game analysis for betting, building your fantasy team, impressing friends as well. And Elias is really one of the most respected research teams in the industry. They really have quality information, and that is key as well. So I'm really glad they created this app for the accuracy data and the important context that it provides. So be sure to take everybody's advice. Download the Elias Game Plan app today with new features available all the time. Take your game to the next level. The NFL season is right around the corner, so don't wait. Find Elias Game Plan in the App Store or Play Store today. And I want to tell you a bit about Built Bar. If you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you're really missing out on one of life's greatest joys. And there's a new flavor with the delicious cookie dough. It's covered in chocolate, and Built has done it again because they have the new cookie dough chunk puffs. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. The puffs are only 160 calories. They have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. And what's great about Built is that they make all their bars with proteins, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides a ton of health benefits. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. If 15% off your order, use promo code LOCKED15. We're back here, our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still talking with Spencer Schultz, that Ravens 23-10 win over the Tennessee Titans. And Spencer, I know on the defensive side of the ball, plenty to take away. I want to start with the front seven, though, because there were a lot of players who stepped up, in my opinion, but there were three. One defensive lineman, one outside linebacker, one inside linebacker. I want to kind of get your thoughts on those guys and any other takeaways you had. Travis Jones, Steven Means, Malik Harrison.
Yeah, Travis Jones looked like the real deal, and it's very easy to come to preseason conclusions and kind of get too caught up in knowing that we've been lied to before by the preseason when talking about rookies and guys having great performances and then turning into busts and busts in the preseason, turning into great players. Ja'Marr Chase comes to mind immediately from this time last year, but Travis Jones, who dominated in college, was one of the most athletic defensive lineman at the NFL Combine in the last 20 years, like elite level athleticism. Plus, he was dominant in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, has turned heads consistently throughout OTAs, into training camp, and then finally coming into this game, showing his chops against the run where he was dominant, showing the ability to go chase down Malik Willis and be able to be nimble enough to do some things to collapse the pocket, generate some rush as a pass rusher. Ultimately makes you think that this dude is going to be a very, very real steal coming at the 76th pick. The Athletics consensus board, which usually doesn't miss too badly in terms of where draft capital ends up going, player-wise, had him as the 40th ranked player. Ravens get him at 76. He, in my book, was a fringe first-round player. Many people. Some people had him, the Ravens taking him at 14 at certain points in the draft process. So a player that nonetheless has done nothing but stand out, did nothing but stand out on Thursday in that preseason win. The combined get off with functional, absolute strength, his hand strength, his core strength, and then being mobile enough to go, you know, run down backs, run down Malik Willis, notch a sack, do all of those things, just technically refined, understood where the ball was going, understood if it was a pass or a run play, quick first step recognition and play action and run and everything of that sort. Him and Aaron Crawford really both shined in this game. I think Aaron Crawford looks like a darn good player that'll probably find his way onto a 53 if it's not in Baltimore somewhere else. So those guys absolutely were forces up front. Steven Means, who is just Pernell McPhee reincarnated, looks very similar dreads, you know, similar body composition overall. The pads even kind of look a little bit similar in the tightness of the jersey, you know, how thick his trunk is, all that stuff. Pulls off a cross chop in the game at, you know, over 270 pounds and goes and gets a sack, was consistently generating pressure, ran down plays 20 yards downfield on the long run where Kyle Hamilton kind of had to double back and delay a runner and big highlight missed tackle and whatever. Steven Means ran that play down from behind too. So he also looks the part. The Ravens have kept him around for a little while as well. So those guys definitely made a splash. And then who was the third that you mentioned? I'm sorry.
Malik Harrison.
Malik Harrison had an up and down day for sure. You know, some misses, some hits. I think in blitzes, he looked really strong, did get some usage at outside linebacker. Like I said earlier, Justice Hill was picking up blitzes. Malik Harrison was rattling through running backs who tried to pick up his blitzes. Missed a couple tackles, you know, forced a fumble as well. Up and down day for him, but nonetheless looked like he was flowing to the ball very well. Just not as much of a calm player, which was sometimes to his detriment in space. He is best, you know, between the tackle box, against the run, things of that nature, but seemed to really turn it up a bit and continues to get his feet wet. So looking for him to get a ton more reps. I think that the linebacker group, we also saw Josh Ross have a really nice day. Zakobi McLean was okay and has made plays throughout camp. So Malik Harrison, Christian Welch, those two guys played a ton together. That is a big, strong, pretty intimidating duo in terms of just overall strength when they bring contact to a ball carrier, to a block, whatever it is. So those guys can run a bit. They can hit a lot. And it was a fun tandem to see them for most of the first half there. And Malik Harrison definitely had some impact plays, also had two, three missed tackles as well. So a little bit of highs, a little bit of lows, and hopefully he's able to build on that performance and keep churning out some more quality stuff.
Yeah, I was very encouraged with the front seven overall. I mean, Travis Jones was just a delight to watch play in that game, to showcase a little bit of everything, which I really, really liked. But you're looking at the secondary now, Spencer. Let's move over there. A lot of eyes were on Kyle Hamilton and his debut here. You mentioned that missed tackle that I want to get your opinion on. But how do you think he looked, and what are the takeaways that you had from that secondary?
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton, to me, got Malik Willis. That's what everybody kind of wants to take away. But guess what? Malik Willis was the most elusive ball carrier in college football last year. He is real. On the touchdown he ran where he did beat Kyle Hamilton, he hit 20 miles per hour or turning a corner. So Hamilton didn't quite line that one up perfectly, but I think his back pedal looked very clean. We saw him close some throwing windows. He was used on the roof playing deep middle of the field coverage. He was used, you know, mostly in split or single safety looks. And I like that approach. Make him a safety first. Don't enter this gray area of Isaiah Simmons down in the where the Cardinals are using him as a will, and then they're using him as a strong safety, and then they're using him as a dime back, or they're using him as an edge rusher. Too much to throw at a rookie at once. So a somewhat similar player to Simmons, I want to see him specialize as a safety, go get him some matchups against some tight ends in the slot. Then as he starts to feel comfortable, get his feet wet more, continue to attack with him and get more creative in his role. But these DBs definitely made a ton of plays. The corners did not look terribly promising throughout the course of the game, but we saw Geno Stone have an outstanding game, saw a lot of traction there. He looks like he's got his body composition figured out where he feels, you know, explosively jacked enough to go run the alley and really deliver some blows like he was at Iowa, while also covering a ton of ground in the pass game, making some plays, getting his hands on footballs, always has a knack for the football dating back to his days at Iowa. Picked off Big Ben, the last interception of his career as well. So Geno Stone looked really strong. A lot of these guys, you know, Pepe Williams almost had a pick six on the first play of the game. So these younger guys definitely were making a little bit of plays. Tony Jefferson, I think, you know, played really well in the box. I didn't love what I saw from him in coverage. I didn't love some of his decisions he was made in terms of passing off and things like that. So some more kinks to work out. He's playing with younger guys. You know, he hasn't only played like 11 games in the last 3 years, something like that. So safeties, a ton of really strong play in this game. Corners, would have liked to see a little bit more, definitely. We saw them part ways with Robert Jackson and some things of that nature. We didn't get to see Jalen Armour Davis, any of those guys. But these DBs have a great safety room. I think that Geno Stone is essentially – has to find his way onto the defensive side of the football field with how he played at the end of last season and how he looks right now and some buzz coming out of training camp too. So some tough decisions coming in that safety room. They are absolutely loaded. They have the best, deepest safety room in the NFL. I don't think that's up for a ton of debate. Marcus Williams, a guy that it feels like has had a quiet camp, made a lot of plays. If you go read articles and go read the coverage of camp, you know, is doing nice things. Harbaugh has a ton of praise. Feels like kind of the forgotten man that is really going to be a foundational player for the Ravens ultimately. So the DBs are in a good place. The corners, you know, you're getting Marcus Peters back. You want to see Jalen Armour Davis take some more reps. Pepe Williams continue to do some things. It looks like Williams doesn't quite have the long speed to really run in man for a long time, but can make some plays up in the box. Looks like he's better kind of facing the quarterback in some zone stuff than he is, you know, turning and running a ton, but a lot more time to learn, a lot more time to grow. And the Ravens have some questions to answer in the cornerback department.
Yep, they most definitely do. And Spencer, I promise special teams. Let's dive into special teams. Jordan Stout, early returns on him. What do you think?
Outstanding. He has control. I think the most important thing he can do is be a good holder too immediately. But it looks like, you know, he has a pretty unique kind of kicking style as a punter. I think he's got the hang time. I think he's got control down pat. We see him put balls, it seems, a mile up in the stadium, up into the upper deck in terms of hang time. So thought he had an awesome outing. I'm looking for him to hopefully be able to be a reliever of Justin Tucker in terms of kickoff duties coming here soon, so you can kind of save Tucker's leg and take him off the field in opportunities where he has to run down tackles, things of that nature that are opening him up now that he's, you know, the $25 million man. So I think Jordan Stout looked good. I think he looked a little jittery on his first kick, which ended up getting called back. And then it seems like he found his rhythm right after that. And all of these opportunities are going to be great for him to continue working.
Yeah, I'm excited. It feels like the Ravens definitely did get a good one. I know that all the hype is on the punt god right now over there in Buffalo with his 82 yards, 62 net punt. But I think Jordan Stout, the Ravens picked the right punter there in terms of just literally everything he brings to the table. But all right, Spencer, players who you're looking to see more out of in week two of the preseason, who do you have?
Definitely want to see a little bit more out of Zakobi McLean. I feel like he has made a ton of plays in camp, and he just had a pick the other day, and sounds like from all accounts had a strong camp. Want to see an extended period of him. Josh Ross played really well as a linebacker. Looked consistent across the board coming into Mike McDonald's defense. Year two for him, another one that followed from Michigan to Baltimore. Want to continue to see Geno Stone. Would love to get a chance to see Jalen Armour Davis at some point here as well. But want to see a ton of guys on this defense. I think Broderick Washington looked great. Want to see Aaron Crawford continue to dominate a little bit. But I think the one that really draws my attention, aside from Shamar Bridges and the wide receivers right now, is Daniel Faalele. I had a lot of fun watching his tape, going back, watching how clean he's moving right now for a guy of his size, how little wasted motion there is in his pass sets. So love to see that out of Faalele. And then, of course, we want to see Shamar Bridges. We want to see Jalen Moore, Benjamin Victor, Mekhi Polk, all these guys go make some plays. Isaiah Likely hopefully gets, you know, a couple chances here and then maybe gets put on ice a little bit so that he doesn't burn out during the season. Feels like, again, he will be a contributor. And then Tyler Beatty, man. I want to see Tyler Beatty make plays. Tyler Huntley looked darn good. Don't think we talked about him a ton. And I think he could end up playing himself into a position where there might be an injury to a quarterback somewhere in the league and the Ravens get a ridiculous offer and end up, I don't know, having some options ultimately ahead of this season. So very interesting stuff, a ton of deep positions for the Ravens. Again, that second team offensive line was absolutely stellar in my opinion, and I'm excited to see them build on it.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Tyler Huntley. Anthony Brown is someone who I'm excited to see kind of build upon his performance. Then also Justice Hill. Just I'm super intrigued by Justice Hill and if he can continue his really good start to the preseason here. And then obviously a bunch of other guys. The Ravens have so many talented guys on this roster. But Spencer, I appreciate you hopping on with me. Thank you so much, as always, for talking Ravens with me. We officially have football back. We got to talk about a game today, which is pretty fun. What do you got going on over this next week here?
Articles coming out on BaltimoreBeatdown.com talking about Travis Jones. Already had that one come out. Got another one coming out down the horn here in a couple days. Talking about Mike McDonald's defense and what we should expect to see personnel usage-wise and how it might be a little different from what we saw at Michigan. College defenses don't quite translate because the dimensions of the hashes, things like that, are a little different. And then continue to break down film. Always, Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts as well. And I actually have an article coming out on Baltimore tailgating and what are the customs and traditions of tailgating in Baltimore. You can look out for that on August 25th, sponsored by Ranch Water. It'll be on BaltimoreBeatdown.com, talking about some pit beef, some crab, some orange crushes, everything like that, where they came from, how to do it right, all of those kinds of things. So some fun stuff coming up ahead and a couple more preseason games, and then we're back in real action taking live bullets, and I'm pumped for it. So thank you so much for having me. Make sure to give Kevin 5 stars, the man who gives you the best daily Ravens coverage. Go reward him. Share this podcast with a friend. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Spencer. August 25th, mark your calendars. That's a very interesting thing that Spencer has going over there, so check it out. And, of course, his work will be in the description below on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to this channel. Be sure to follow us along in audio form as well. But, Spencer, thank you so much again. That's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. When we get back here tomorrow, I'll be answering your mailbag questions, talking more about the Ravens, of course, too. So be sure to stay tuned for that, and I will see you right back here tomorrow.